Welcome, listeners. A very special edition of Around Cincinnati is on tap for you this evening as we visit with Greg Harris, President and CEO of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. He's with us this evening to tell us about the Play It Loud, Instruments of Rock and Roll exhibit, which is currently on display. This is the largest exhibit ever assembled for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and features actual instruments and stage gear used by an amazing array of rock and roll icons. How about Chuck Berry's 1957 Gibson 350T? Yes, that's the Johnny B. Goode guitar. Or the keyboard John Paul Jones used to record Stairway to Heaven. Or the Martin 00042 Eric Clapton played during his famous MTV Unplugged concert. And my favorite, the white Stratocaster played by Jimi Hendrix at Woodstock. This exhibit is unlike any exhibit ever before assembled, and you'll never, trust me on this, ever see an exhibit like this again. Welcome, Greg.
My pleasure, Stuart. Thanks for having me on.
I understand this amazing show was organized by both the Metropolitan Museum of Art and the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I'm curious about that collaboration. Could you talk about that a little bit?
Absolutely. You know, many consider the Metropolitan Museum of Art one of the greatest museums in the world, and many consider the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame one of the greatest museums in the world, and it's really fun to partner with them. We co-curated this exhibit. And it was just in New York over the summer. It blew the crowds away, and it's coming out here to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And when we exhibit it here, it's going to be just a little bit different. In New York, it was very much about the objects as art objects and beautiful pieces. And here we're going to add some more context. So not only will you see Chuck Berry's guitar that he recorded Johnny B. Goode with, but you'll see Chuck with the guitar, and you'll hear the song, and you'll catch that moment. We're going to add a lot more of that. And it all fits our mission at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame to engage, teach, and inspire through the power of rock and roll.
Tell me, did you get word from the Met regarding what particular instruments seem to have large crowds of people gathered around them all day long?
You know, people love Ringo Starr's drum kit, the very one he played for their iconic show at Shea Stadium. Speaking of drum kits, there's a Keith Moon kit from The Who that's off the charts. There's an amazing Prince guitar that's in the show. And frankly, everywhere you turn, these are the best of the best. There's some pieces from Jimmy Page and Keith Richards that visitors liked an awful lot, too.
The acquisition is of interest to me, and I think will be to our listeners, too. Could you share a behind-the-scenes story or two regarding the acquisition of some of these instruments?
Yeah, you know, some of these are from our collection, but many of them are in private collections and frequently owned by the musicians themselves. So, you know, Springsteen's iconic Fender guitar that he is pictured on the cover of Born to Run with and that he's played in all of his live shows, you know, that's from Bruce's collection. So we had to get special dispensation to borrow it from him. There's an understanding that if he's touring, we're going to ship it out to him and we'll bring it back here in Cleveland and put it up. So there's pieces like that that are just remarkable. The depth of this collection, and this is the first time this stuff has ever been assembled in one place, and probably the only time it ever will be.
Could you give our listeners an idea of what this looks like on the floor of the museum? How much of the museum does it occupy and so forth?
You know, we're in this beautiful IMPEI building, and this exhibit's going to take over the whole museum. It will be on our top three floors, so 4, 5, and 6. And in our main exhibit gallery, we're going to dedicate a floor space to it. One of the few floors that will be untouched is a new exhibit we opened in July called The Garage, and it's where visitors can play instruments. They can play real Tellys, real Strats, real Les Pauls. They can jam with each other. In the acoustic room, they can play Martins and they can play Gibsons. And that is our second floor, but the rest of the museum is going to be touched by this Play It Loud exhibit. And we're really excited. It's kind of a full building takeover.
How long do you think a visitor might want to spend viewing this exhibit? I know that depends on your interest, but give us an idea of what that might be like to walk in and be faced with all this amazing merchandise.
Yeah. So without this exhibit, our average visitor stays 2.5 hours. With this exhibit, I think it's going to be more like 4 hours. And some that are, you know, huge gear fans and that really want to connect with the instruments themselves, they may be here for a couple days. It's deep. It's rich, as deep as you want to go. You can learn the stories and see the actual instruments, and we're really excited. And that's one of the great things about rock and roll. You know, there are those that really want to go deep on an artist that they care about. There's others that just want to be inspired by the space. And sometimes you forget, and when you see an artifact, you see a guitar, and you realize, like, that song that was recorded on that guitar that reminds me of the folks I was with in high school. Reminds me of the first time I fell in love, my greatest road trip of my life. And it's right there. And that hits you. And suddenly you go from a transient visit to just being a bolt of lightning connecting to your history and connecting to everybody else.
Other than instruments, what about memorabilia in this exhibit?
Yeah, there's some really interesting original posters that are in the exhibit. There's some stage clothing from people like Jimmy Page, from Prince. There's a pretty cool setup from the band The Roots. I'm a Philadelphia native, and they're one of my favorites. There's some things from them as well. It is heavy on instruments because it really is looking at the instruments as these works of art and as these important cultural touchstones that created and delivered this music that impacted all of us.
And this project, go back to the beginnings when this started to take its earliest form. How long ago was that? And what about those early moments when this was just something on a piece of paper?
It's been about 3+ years in the making. And the curators from the Met met with our curators. You know, think about our museum. It's dedicated to an art form that's been around, you know, since the 1940s. And just to meet and to be engaged with the Metropolitan Museum of Art, you know, one of the greatest art museums in the entire world, highly recognized. And then our museum, a little bit of an upstart. We're only 24 years old. But to work with them as equals, to co-curate this exhibit, to tell the story of, I believe, the most important art form ever created, the music that changed the world, the music that impacts all of us, is a huge validation for every fan of rock and roll and for every musician. So we're really excited to work with them and thrilled to bring the exhibit out here to Ohio.
I can't think of any iconic situation that could be stronger than perhaps the Beatles. Could you tell us what you might have there for us on the Beatles?
Yeah, you know, the Beatles are well represented in the exhibit. There's, of course, an incredible Paul McCartney Hofner bass that was used on the early recordings. There's Ringo Starr's primary drum kit, pretty much the drum kit that he played throughout the 60s and was used not only at Shea Stadium, but also over at Candlestick Park in their final show. When you see that, you just immediately connect with all the newsreel footage that you've seen. Or if you're lucky enough to be at the shows, it'll bring you back. We have some things from John Lennon that are in the exhibit as well, and some George Harrison pieces. One in particular, a very early guitar of his, that's just an iconic one. And when you see it, you can actually hear the music coming out of it as you stand in front of it.
Oh, that's terrific. Just curious, did you get Ringo's drum set directly from Ringo?
We did. This drum kit came directly from Ringo. When we borrowed it, his drum technician came over and set it up alongside the curators. And he's been very generous, but he owns this and loves sharing it with the public. If people look closely, when his drum tech sets it up, he always puts a little cotton tea towel across the snare drum, and that's how Ringo wants it before every show.
Well, that's a great piece of information. I know there's an area of the exhibit called the Guitar God area. Could you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, you know, that's a spot where we did interviews with some of the most iconic guitarists, explaining their technique, explaining their amplification rig. And so you have Jimmy Page standing in Abbey Road Studios with the amplifiers that he used for, you know, Led Zeppelin II, and he's playing a double neck guitar, showing us the actual guitar and walking through how he got the sound out of it for Stairway to Heaven, how he got the sound out of it for A Whole Lot of Love. And it's just remarkable to see him one-on-one with the camera explaining this to us. We did the same thing with Keith Richards. He explains his rig. Tom Morello from Rage Against the Machine and Springsteen's band explains his technique, which involves hammering on the strings and not just strumming them.
Can the listeners have access to those interviews then when they attend?
They can. Those interviews will be running on the sixth floor of the museum on giant screens, and you can participate and learn. You know, I'm a little bit of an amateur guitarist. I think you're a pretty experienced guitarist. Standing there, I learned a bit about the technique, and it was enriching.
It sounds to me like a four-hour walkthrough is nothing I'm going to be able to accomplish. I'm going to book a room for a couple of nights and mellow down easy, as Paul Butterfield said.
Please do. And when you do, when you want a break from the exhibit, go in the garage and jam with some other visitors. It's good for the soul.
Terrific. And I'm looking here at the copy of this amazing, I'll just say coffee table book, if you will, amazing book about the exhibit. Tell us a little bit about the book.
Yeah, you know, having these iconic pieces assembled in one place, gave the opportunity to photograph them, to tell a little story about each piece in the exhibit, and to create this beautiful coffee table type art book that just gets you up close and personal. And there's something about seeing the mileage on some of these fretboards, on seeing, you know, the road cases with the stories they could tell in presenting it all in this beautiful style. And again, we're thrilled to see rock and roll elevated to this idea of high art, but also keep its grit and keep its spirit.
And how's the exhibit addressed in your gift shop area up there as well?
Of course, we'll have some things that visitors can take home. They can take that beautiful coffee table book. There's a smaller book. And there's some other logo items that will tie into the exhibit. And we might even start selling some guitars in our gift shop because it's been so inspirational.
I think that's a great idea. I can't think of anything more appropriate. Greg, it's been a pleasure to talk to you. And I want to congratulate you and your fine establishment for being involved in this project, which is absolutely never, ever before been put together. And it's so exciting. And we ask all our listeners to take a look at the WVXU website to learn more about the exhibit. Thank you so much, Greg.
My pleasure. Have a great day.
As a reminder, this amazing show, Play It Loud, The Instruments of Rock and Roll, is currently on display at Cleveland's Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and runs through September 13th of 2020. For details and updates on attending the show, check our website at wvxu.org. I'd like to thank our guest this evening, Greg Harris, President and CEO of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. This is Stuart Holman for Around Cincinnati.
Yesterday, all my troubles seem so far away. Now it looks as though they're here to stay. Oh, I believe in yesterday. Suddenly, I'm not half the man I used to be. There's a shadow hanging over me. Oh, yesterday came suddenly. Why she had to go, I don't know, she wouldn't say. I said something wrong, now I long for yesterday. Yesterday, love was such an easy game to play. I need a place to hide away. Oh, I believe in yesterday. Why she had to go, I don't know, she wouldn't say. I said something wrong, now I long for yesterday. Love was such an easy game to play. Now I need a place to hide away. Oh, I believe.